My name is, and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM, which is true.
If you like music that's off the beaten path, and often off the beat, then tune in to Overlooked, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, just after the noon news. You'll hear underplayed and overlooked music of all genres, continents, and omniverses, Overlooked on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC Underwriting is provided in part by Chronogram, inviting the public to attend the launch party for its annual Clean Power Guide at the Fuller Building in Kingston on Wednesday, January 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The event features networking and conversation about ways to transition homes from fossil fuels to clean power and how to maximize savings. Information and registration at chronogram.com/conversations.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Marxists of Ghent, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and enemies. You're listening to me, your host, Norman Douglas, the name of the show, Good Night, Norman, on WGXC 90.7 FM, broadcasting to you live from beautiful downtown Hudson, New York. It is Monday, 12:02 a.m., the 20th day of the year, 2025. The banker's holiday commemorating the birth, so to speak, of Martin Luther King Jr. A little trivia, somewhat related to Mr. King. My little opening salvo there, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and enemies, is a quote from another gentleman associated with the American Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s, Malcolm X, nay Malcolm Little, apparently also known as Detroit Red. That's how he began several of his speaking engagements. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and enemies. And with that out of the way, happy birthday. Tonight, more fiction. This one by Shavisa Woods, a dear friend of mine, whose bio, I guess, you can either read in the Evergreen Review, from which this story is taken, the latest issue. Or I might get to it if I have enough time at the end of the show, or at the end of the story. which will probably take up the greater part of the show, if not all of it. The name of the story, The Machine. The author, Shavisa Woods. Dear friend, perhaps even a found sibling. Actually, I think the title is The Machine TM, as in trademark. Shavisa Woods is the author of short story collection Things to Do When You're Goth in the Country, or is it goth? but I'm pretty sure this story is not from that book, although it is a good book. The Machine, TM, by Shavisa Woods. The eggs are burned, June announced. I'm sorry, but you'll just have to eat these because there are no more eggs. Her family groaned disapprovingly. Oh, it's not that bad. Anyway, this is the last time you'll ever have to eat burned eggs. She took the frying pan by the handle and walked into the dining area. When the machine comes, we won't have to worry about this sort of thing anymore. When's it coming? April asked as June slid an egg from the spatula onto her plate. Gets here this afternoon, Jim told their daughter as June turned to him and dished out his eggs next to his toast. He touched the hard brown edge with his fork. Those are some crispy eggs, he told his wife. I said I'm sorry, she said tensely. The golden dog paced beside her panting and stared up expectantly at the frying pan. No worries, he told her. Like you said, it's the last time. You do too much anyway. Breakfast for four people every day, I shouldn't be complaining. June smiled down at him. He tilted his head up toward her from where he sat at the dining table and pantomimed a kiss. She pantomimed a kiss back, her lips pursing in the air, a smooching sound floating between them. I don't want any eggs, her son Matt said. I'll just eat toast and jelly. Are you making bacon? I can, June said. How many pieces do you want? She served herself her son's eggs on the plate that sat before the empty chair at the table. The golden dog followed behind, wagging its tail. Six, her son shouted. No, eight, the dog yapped. You get four, June told him, heading back to the stove. God, you're a pig, April told her brother. You are what you eat, he squealed back. April rolled her eyes. That just proves my point, idiot. Be nice, June shouted. I'll have some bacon too, honey, Jim told her, since you're making it. Dad, Matt said, waving a butter knife in the air, when we get the machine, can I have as many pieces of bacon as I want? Well, I don't know about that, Jim said, grinning at his son. When we get the machine, June said, you won't want more bacon than you need. No one needs bacon, April said. I do, Matt told her. If I become bacon deficient, I'll keel over and die, and they'll have to put a bacon IV in me and pump me full of bacon grease to revive me. That's disgusting, his sister told him. Pass me the paper, April, Jim told her. April handed her father the paper that was sitting on the side table nearest her seat, next to the sliding glass door that opened into the backyard, where the sun was shining brightly on the tight green grass. Jim folded the paper three times and sat it next to his plate, staring down at the black and white business page as he dipped his brown toast into his yellow egg yolk. The golden dog ran over to April and nuzzled her hand. She patted the dog on the head. It whined and stared at her plate. April stood and opened the sliding glass door. The golden dog bounded out onto the sunny lawn. April closed the door and sat back down. Her phone made a buzzing noise like a bumblebee, and she took it out of her pocket, looked at the screen, then laughed out loud and began typing frantically. April, no phones at the table when we're eating, her mother scolded her. April held the phone in her hand and stared at her mother, her mouth open in disgust. But Dad gets to read the paper. Well, that's the paper, isn't it? Not a phone. April groaned and shoved her phone back into her pocket. What's the difference? When the machine gets here, won't it, like, be like always being on the phone? Her mother paused, holding the spatula in the air and considered. Then she decided, no, that is not the same thing. When the machine comes, Matt said, beaming at his sister, I'll never have to see your stupid face again. Your mother said to be nice, Jim said to Matt, shooting him a severe look and then giving his attention back to the paper. June served her son and husband 4 pieces of bacon each, then walked the greasy pan back over to the counter and set it down, then took a seat in front of her own plate of eggs. As soon as she sat down, she sighed heavily and stood back up. I forgot to make myself toast, she grumbled and went back into the kitchen. Mom, can I have more juice? Matt asked. I'll have more too, honey, since you're in there, Jim said. Me too, April chimed in. April, can you just come get the juice and take it to the table? June asked. Fine. April walked past her mother, got the bottle of orange juice from the fridge, and took it to the table, where she poured a cup of juice for everyone. Thanks, sweetheart, her dad told her. June went back to the table, bringing the French press full of coffee with her. She poured a cup for herself and her husband, and then began eating her breakfast. I'm so glad we decided to get the machine, she said to no one in particular. Matt chewed his bacon like it was a piece of gum, smacking his lips loudly for effect. Was it really expensive? April asked. Not too expensive, June said. Well, it wasn't exactly cheap, Jim huffed. He flipped his folded paper over. How much was it? Matt asked, bouncing in his seat. Enough, his father said. It was more than enough. I think it was worth it, June said, stirring sugar into her coffee. We'll see, Jim said. Only one other person in my class has one so far, April said. 3 kids in my class have one already, Matt said excitedly, waving his bacon at April like it was a conductor's baton. 3 other kids, he said to a made-up rhythm. Do they like it? June asked. Matt thought about this. Well, I don't know, he said. They don't do recess with us anymore, just study times. So, I don't know. Well, don't you talk to them online? June asked. No, the machine has its own platforms. When the machine comes, I'm going to be a dinosaur. There's a game where you can actually feel what it was to be a dinosaur and interface with other kids who are dinosaurs. I'm going to do that one. I might end up just living as a dinosaur full time. Oh, no. You're going to do more than just play games, Jim said to him, sipping his coffee. I know, Matt grumbled, but sometimes. Yes, sometimes, June told her son, but not all the time. She broke off a corner of her toast and ate it. Jim, she said, I didn't think about that. Matt won't be at recess with the other kids. Do you think that's good for him? It's fine, Matt moaned. I'll just have recess with the other kids who have the machine, Mom. June shook her head. I don't know. I didn't think about that. Ugh, it's fine, Mom, Matt groaned, pushing his back hard into his chair. Jim smiled at his son. It's a new generation, June. By the time he's our age, he'll be miles ahead of where we are now. Don't count on it, April said, staring down disgustedly at her brother, who was now banging the back of his head into the top rail of the back of his chair, going, ugh, 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 annoyed with the conversation. April sipped her orange juice. The golden dog came up to the door and scratched at the glass. April stood and let the dog in. It ran to its water dish in the corner and began lapping. Matt calmed and resumed eating his bacon. A curious thought became visible on his face. Wait a minute, he said in mid-chew. What'll happen to Goldie? June and Jim shared a thick look. She'll be fine, Jim assured his son. But who let her in and out, though? Matt asked. The machine will handle all that sort of thing, June told him. You think they don't think of pets, Jim said. If everyone in the world is going to have one within the next 10 years, trust you me, they thought of pets. Don't worry, I'm sure it'll all be in the manual. There's no manual, Dad, April told him. It automatically installs. Well, whatever, they thought of pets. That's all I'm saying, he told her. He took a bite of his last piece of bacon. This is just right, he told his wife. Everyone? In the world? Matt said, amazed. That's right, Jim said. That's the goal. No, not everyone, April told them, pushing her empty plate into the middle of the table. People in third world countries won't have one, will they, Dad? Well, if you want to be so technical, Jim told her. It's not so technical. It's just a fact. Everyone in the world won't have one, April said, exasperated, unless you don't count third world people as people. That's enough, Jim told her. I'm sure eventually they'll be donated to the needy, June said. April let out a sharp laugh and rolled her eyes. You know what, April? If you don't want to use the machine, then you're free to go and get your own place and live without it, Jim told her brusquely. What the hell, Dad? April let out. I didn't mean that. I was just saying, she huffed. Not everyone will have one. Come on, you two, don't start, June said. The golden dog ran around the table and ended up next to June, wagging its tail and placing its snout in her lap. She patted its head. It whined and eyed her plate. Jim unfolded and refolded the newspaper aggressively. What? It's true. If she wants to live on her own, she can. When my great-grandmother was your age, April, she was married with kids. So go on. Live how you please if you want to stay in the Stone Age. Jesus, Dad, April said sharply. Watch your tone, her father told her. The golden dog yapped. Why don't you ever have to watch your tone, April told him, and stood to leave the table. The dog hopped back from June's lap, anxiously awaiting April's next move. June reached out and gripped her daughter's arm. What's wrong with you? Matt said to his sister, not as a real question. Sit down. We're not done with breakfast, June instructed her daughter. April sat back down but turned her body sideways, facing away from her father, and stared out at the lawn through the clear glass window refracting the sunlight into small points of yellow that hovered on the walls and the floor. The golden dog bounced up to her. She patted its head. It left her and ran to her brother's feet. Who's going to set it up, Dad? Matt asked. He took a large crumb from his plate and dropped it on the floor for the golden dog. The golden dog licked up the crumb, then sat on its haunches and stared up at him, its body quivering for another morsel. Well, I will, Jim answered. I'll set it up. Can I help? Matt asked. Well, I don't see why not, Jim answered. It sets itself up, April told them, still turned away. We just scan ourselves, and it sets itself up. That's it. Well, then he can help with that, Jim told her. April shook her head, no, and looked at the ceiling. You can only scan yourself, she mumbled, arms folded. What was that? Jim asked unpleasantly, holding his paper up, scanning a new page. April didn't repeat what she'd mumbled. June took the last bite of her egg, then reached across the table and grabbed her children's empty plates and placed them on top of her own. Is breakfast over yet? April asked. Almost, her mother answered. Do you want any more juice? April shook her head no. Are you going to finish the juice you have? April took her glass of orange juice from the table and held it with both hands, resting the bottom of the glass on her knees. She stared out the glass door. June patted April's leg. April looked at her mother. June smiled at her. April softened and took a drink of her juice. Jim sopped up the last of the yellow egg yolk with his brown toast and took a bite, then washed it down with a swig of black coffee. He pushed the empty plate toward his wife, and she took it and added it to the pile sitting in front of her. Can you imagine, June said, this is the last time I'll ever have to load the dishes. I wonder if this is how people felt when the dishwasher was invented. Jim chuckled. And now, to us, that seems like a chore. He set the paper down in front of him. You'll have to remind me to cancel my subscription today. I don't want newspapers piling up on our doorstep till the end of time. He took another swig of his coffee. I think I might miss reading the paper on the weekends, but I'll tell you what I won't miss, that weekday commute. No, I won't miss driving through the bumper-to-bumper morning traffic and getting up 3 hours early, I'll tell you that. June smiled at him. I won't miss looking for a parking spot at the train station and wading through the degenerates in the terminal harassing me for spare change every morning either. That's for sure. Are the degenerates going to get the machine too? April asked. I mean, if everyone in the world is getting it. Jim breathed in deeply through his nose and held it, staring stonily at his daughter. What's wrong with you? Matt squealed. Breakfast is over, June said, standing and taking the plates to the kitchen. What's this about, April? Jim demanded. You don't want us to have the machine? Is that it? April turned to face her father. No, that's not it. It's just sometimes you say things that aren't true, that's all. She poked at her tooth with her tongue and tilted her head. But it is true, isn't it, Dad? Everyone will have one, and when they make enough money, they can donate the rest to poor people. Right, Dad? Matt asked. Jim stared at his daughter. Within 10 years, he told her, every civilized person in the world will have one. Is that better? Does that suit you, O contrary one? Will you two stop it, please? June said piercingly from the kitchen. April nodded. Yes, that's better. Can I go outside? Matt asked. Take Goldie with you, June told him. Come on, he shouted, leaping from his chair and opening the slide glass door in a rush, the golden dog following boundingly beside him. They were out in the middle of the sunny, fenced-in backyard in a moment, but the door was still open, letting in a very chill wind. Get back here and bundle up, June demanded. Oh, fine. Matt stamped back in, hulkingly, and his mother helped him on with the coat, scarf, hat, gloves, and sunglasses that sat in the basket by the door. When she was done bundling her son, she smeared sunscreen on his cheeks. He grimaced and groaned, then turned and skipped into the yard, the dog jumping and yapping beside him. April stood, slid the glass door closed, then walked into the adjoining living room, collapsed on the couch, took out her phone, and started typing. Jim also went into the living room, sat at the desk, and opened a computer. I'm going to cancel the subscription now so I don't forget, he shouted to his wife. She was sweeping the floor under the kitchen table. I can't believe this is the last time I'll have to sweep, she shouted back. What time's it being delivered? I don't know. Where's the tracking number? Jim asked. It's in the email receipt, June told him. He searched through the email, then shouted. Noon. It'll be here by noon. Well, that's not enough time, June said. I have to box up the dishes and organize the room still. What's it matter? April said from where she lay on the beige couch, her feet dangling over the armrest. No one's going to be coming over. Well, I have to dust, June went on. Honey, it'll do all of that, Jim told her. Just relax. April, have you picked up your room? June asked her. What does it matter? April came back. Her phone buzzed, then dinged, then buzzed again. Can you turn that down, please? Her father told her. She clicked a button on the side of her phone. A bing emanated from the computer where her father sat at the desk. Can you turn that down, please? April told him. You're walking a dangerous road with me today, young lady, Jim told her, turning back to the computer and reading the screen. Oh, came out of his mouth, softly. The delivery is delayed, he shouted to June, who was filling the dishwasher. They just emailed. Until when? Until 3. Well, that's fine. That gives me a little more time. Time for what? You don't need to do anything else. That's the point, Jim told her. There are a few things I would like to put in order, June told him sternly. Matt slid open the sliding glass door aggressively. The dog ran in through his legs and scampered up to its empty food bowl. Matt was out of breath. He turned and slammed the glass door hard. Be careful, his mother told him. He wiped his hands on his pant legs, then walked over to the far end of the dining table and fell into a chair. Can I have some soda or something? He asked. Now look, you have dirt all over you. What were you doing? You know you're not supposed to play off of the grass, and you tracked it in all over the floor I just swept, June told him. I have half a mind to make you sweep this up yourself. I'm thirsty, Matt told her, wiping the sweat off his brow with his forearm. I was digging with Goldie. She found a rock buried by the tree. You're a mess, June told him, filling a glass with ice water for him. A complete mess. It's the last time you'll have to clean up after him and the dog, Jim chirped happily. April groaned and stood up from the couch. She rolled her eyes. I have to pee, she said, and walked toward the staircase. For the last time, she added in a sardonic tone, maybe I should take a picture. April, her mother shouted, what has gotten into you today? One more comment like that, her father told her, and you're... He stopped in mid-sentence, uncertain what to say next. He looked at June, who was standing next to Matt, who was gulping down his water. How do we ground them when we get the machine? Jim asked. April chuckled, folded her arms, and leaned against the stair banister, amused. You don't know? June asked him. No, do you? Jim said. Well, I hadn't thought of that, June said. April laughed. Matt set the water glass on the table and smacked his lips, then wiped his mouth with his arm. There's parental controls. You can restrict access to different platforms and even restrict who we can interface with, Matt said proudly. Why'd you tell him that? April threw up her hands. They had no idea. June walked to the living room and sat on the couch. The kids know more about it than we do, Jim. We better hope they don't end up restricting our access. Jim laughed. It's a whole new generation, he said. April turned and walked upstairs. The golden dog whined from the kitchen and pushed on its empty food bowl with its nose. Goldie's hungry, Matt said. She's out of food, June said. She can wait until the machine comes. The dog kept whining. I think she's really hungry, Matt said. Fine, let me see. June stood up, went to the food pantry, and got out a bag of dog food. She turned it upside down over the food bowl, and the very last of the kibble spilled into the bowl, just more than a cup's worth, the final loose powder dusting the top. She gave the bag a concluding shake and folded it up. The dog began gulping the food down immediately. That's all of it, June said. They better deliver the machine by 3. I'm going to go get the bedroom ready. She walked through the living room and disappeared up the stairs. Matt went and sat on the couch, took the remote, and flipped through the channels until he found a cartoon he liked. Jim stayed at the computer researching information about the machine. The dog licked the last of the crumbs, whimpered at no one listening, and lay next to its empty bowl. When June came back downstairs, Jim was asleep in the reclining chair and Matt was asleep on the couch. The child was snoring softly, the remote on his lap, and he'd fallen sideways, sleeping in a bent-over position, smashing his right arm awkwardly under his body. June went over to Jim and shook him gently awake. Jim, Jim, it's late, she told him. Jim blinked and turned his head side to side. What, what? He said shortly, sleepily, surprised. What is it? It's late, June told him, placing her hands on her hips. Late how? Jim asked, coming to fully. It's 5:30. Well, did we miss it? Jim asked. No, I've been awake the whole time. I would have heard the doorbell. They would ring the doorbell, wouldn't they? Or call? Well, I would think so, Jim told her. Anyway, I didn't hear anyone pull up. Can you check the delivery online? Yeah. Jim stood up from the chair slowly, making noises as he did so. Matt stirred on the couch, repositioning himself so that he was lying more normally on his back. He made an ah sound and stretched his arms over his head, then became still again. Jim opened the computer and clicked the link to the tracking page. He got a bad look on his face and leaned back in the desk chair, folding his arms. That can't be right, he said. What? What is it? It says the delivery is delayed. See? He pointed at the screen. Until when? Delivery delayed, rescheduled, to be delivered on the following business day, he read. Business day? June said. That's not till Monday. We can't wait till Monday. Why would it have to be a business day if they deliver on Saturdays? I don't know, Jim said, shaking his head. Maybe it's a mistake and they'll deliver tomorrow. They'd better, June said. I work on Mondays and Tuesdays, so I can't be here to get it until Wednesday. I was supposed to work using the machine on Monday. I know that, so was I, Jim told her sharply. Well, we only have one vehicle now because we thought it was being delivered today. I know, Jim said again. Well, how are we both going to get to work and get the kids to school with only one vehicle? I don't know, Jim said. This isn't some pizza delivery. People make plans for this months in advance. This alters our entire life. I realize that. They can't just change a delivery date without notice. What do you want me to do? Jim shouted. Matt sat up and rubbed his eyes. Make a phone call. Demand to be delivered this weekend. Tomorrow. Fine. Tell them who you work for. You can use that to your advantage sometimes, at least, can't you? I mean, in a situation like this, they have to deliver it tomorrow. Fine, Jim grabbed his phone from the desk and stormed off into the den. Tell them we only have one car, June shouted after him. What's going on? Matt asked sleepily. He looked around the room, then his eyes opened wide. Is it here? He asked excitedly. No, it's not here, June told him. What time is it? It's not coming today anymore. What? Why not? There was a problem. It's not coming until tomorrow, or maybe Monday. Monday? Matt shouted. The golden dog sprang up from where it lay in the corner of the room and shook itself. Do I get to stay home from school? I don't know, June said, heading toward the stairs. I don't have to go to school like regular on Monday, do I? Matt persisted. I don't know. You might have to, June snapped. Matt fell back on the couch and groaned. I can't go to school like regular. I told everyone I was getting the machine this weekend, he whined. If I go back to school regular Monday, I'll look like a total retard. Well, you might just have to. You're not the only one this affects, young man, June told him. Matt made two fists and brought them down onto the couch cushions. I wish I was dead. June went into the hallway, past the staircase, and strained to hear into the den from where she could make out only the muffled noises of her husband arguing with the machine company. April came to the top of the stairs and saw her mother staring at the closed door of the den in the hallway. What's going on? April hollered. Shush! Her mother put her finger to her lips. April stepped down the stairs. We're not getting the machine, Matt told her. What? April asked. June walked back toward the staircase. We are getting it, she said, keeping her voice low. There's just a problem with the delivery. It'll be here by Monday at the latest. Your father's talking to them now, trying to get them to deliver it tomorrow. Okay, April shrugged and came the rest of the way down the stairs, then sat in the reclining chair across from the couch. The golden dog followed her to the chair. She petted him and he wagged his tail, then curled up on the floor below her, resting part of his body on her feet. I'm hungry, Matt said. Me too, April said. What are we doing for dinner anyway? June let out a defeated sigh and regarded her two children with exhaustion. I don't know, she said abruptly. I hadn't planned on cooking again. Well, can you, though? April asked. No. Her children stared at her blankly. April looked side to side. Okay. There's no food, June said. We thought the machine was coming today. I didn't want things to rot. There's no food? Matt asked. I don't know, June looked up, scanning the inventory in her mind's eye. There's some canned vegetables. Ew, gross, Matt groaned. There's some bacon and bread in the fridge. I think that's it. Go see for yourself. Jim emerged from the den. June turned toward him as he came into the living room. Well, what did they say? She asked. He sighed. They use a contracted delivery company, and that company is closed now. The first woman I talked with had a thick accent. She was just reading a script. She had no idea what she was talking about. But I finally got to talk to a manager who's actually in the United States. And you told them who you work for? June pressed. Yes, it doesn't matter. The guy apologized. He said the best he could do was put a note on the order to rush the delivery. So he doesn't know if it'll come tomorrow or Monday. but if we check the tracking page, we can see if it's out for delivery or not. But it said it was out for delivery all day today, June told him. So obviously it doesn't really matter what it says, does it? She shouted. I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? Jim said harshly. Dad, are you hungry? Matt asked. Jim looked at his children. I'm kind of hungry, April said, looking up from her phone. June clapped her hands. Don't look at me, she told Jim. There's no food in the house. None, Jim asked. Basically, June said, exasperated. You can't piece something together? June shot Jim a severe look. Fine, fine, we'll go out to dinner. I thought we were going to use the machine for dinner, Matt grumbled. Well, now we're going to a restaurant, June told him. You've got 10 minutes to get ready. Fine, Matt ran past her up the stairs. And change those muddy pants, she shouted after him. April stood up and headed to the stairs. The golden dog stood and followed her to the base of the stairs, whining. When she disappeared up the stairs, the golden dog turned to June and barked twice, loudly. Quiet, June told him. The dog lay down and whined, quietly, then calmed itself, and June went upstairs to get ready. 20 minutes later, the four of them piled into the old van. Why didn't you sell this piece of crap and keep one of the new cars? Matt asked. Jim started up the old van and backed out of the garage. Because I got a good price for those, and this is just for emergencies, he said. Well, what kind of emergencies? Matt asked. Like a nuclear bomb, April told him. Bare trees passed in the dusk outside the windows. If a nuclear bomb explodes, we'll just be dead, Matt told April. Not if we have the machine, April said in a breathy, affected voice, making a goofy face and making her sunglasses wiggle. Matt laughed. Really, though, what emergency? Any emergency, June told him, where we'll need to leave the house. Is everyone in the world going to sell their cars? Matt asked. Probably so, son, Jim said. It'll be better for the environment, anyways. This is all part of the bigger blueprint to slow the impact of... That doesn't make any sense, April told him, cutting him off. If everyone sold their cars, there'd be no one to sell them to. Jim furrowed his eyebrows. Yeah, Matt said. Who'll buy the cars if no one needs them? Just degenerates and third world people, April said, imitating a goofy old man. It'll just be degenerates and third-world people passing each other on the highway in our fancy cars from now on. That's enough, June said to April. She looked out the window, contemplatively staring into the middle distance between the brown field and blackening red sunset. But what will they do with the cars? She asked her husband. It's going to be a whole new world, Jim told her, shaking his head. April pecked on her phone. Can I stay at Christina's tonight? I don't need anything. You can just drop me off after dinner. I don't know if that's a good idea, June said. Why not? April pressed her. Come on, please. What if the machine gets delivered tomorrow and you're not home? Then just message me and I'll come back, April said. Oh. So this time you'll actually answer my messages for some reason, June said, even though you never do? I will, April insisted. And why would that be? Because it's the last time you'll ever message me, April said in the fake voice of a severely stupid person. June narrowed her eyes. Please, Mom, April begged. Christina isn't getting the machine for at least 2 more months, so it's the last time I'm going to see her for a long time. Fine, June gave in. She wagged her finger over her shoulder at April without turning to face her. But you better answer your gosh dang phone. I'm serious. Do you understand me, young lady? Yes, April said. Dad, Matt screamed. What are they doing? He pressed a sticky fingertip to the window pane, leaving a steamy impression. My God, June shrieked. Cover your eyes. Don't look at them, Jim told his family. April, cover your brother's eyes. April stared out the window blankly, not even beginning to act on her father's demand. It's just bodies, she told her father emptily. They were totally naked, Matt shouted, twisting around in his seat to try to get one last glimpse as the scene receded into the distance. That fire must have been 10 feet high. Jesus Christ, Jim sputtered. I knew we should have taken the interstate. Can't even drive on the main roads anymore without risking exposure or exposing our children to God knows what. What were they burning? Matt asked excitedly. Was it a car? These degenerates are completely taking over, Jim went on. A car? Trash? Matt inquired. They're completely taking over, Jim came again. Let them have it, I say, June said, throwing her hands in the air. Let them have it. I'll be happy when I don't have to look at them anymore, Jim told his wife. Let them have it, June repeated firmly, like it was a new mantra she was living by. They were totally naked, Matt said again, laughing heartily at the thought. They pulled into the restaurant parking lot. Jim turned off the van. Inside, the family sat around a small circular table in the dim restaurant where Italian-style music played over the speakers. They sipped their drinks. Matt blew bubbles into his soda. The waiter stood over them, writing down their meal orders. Jim ordered the steak, medium rare, and his wife ordered the bowl of mussels. April ordered the dinner salad, and Matt hemmed and hawed over the menu. Gosh, you don't have very many choices here, he told the waiter. Manners, his mother reminded him. I'm sorry, Jim said. He's disappointed because he was expecting something else. You know how kids are. Of course, the slender waiter said, nodding once, unenthusiastically. Why don't you have the grilled cheese from the kids' menu, June suggested. Matt looked up at the waiter. We were supposed to get the machine today, he told the man excitedly. Dinners using the machine are awesome. You can eat space pizza in space. Well, we definitely don't have anything like that here, the tall waiter said cordially. But his eyes slanted and he regarded the family tersely, his thin mouth pinched at the sides. Pepperonis look like Mars, Matt went on. Is that so? The waiter asked, squinting at the boy. Matt's face twisted into a question. Are you getting the machine? He asked the waiter. Matt, just order already, his mother insisted. How about the noodles? She pointed to the menu, redirecting his attention. You like that? Matt looked down at the menu. Oh, yeah, I'll eat the buttered noodles with sausage, he added. And Parmesan cheese. He smiled widely, showing the waiter his teeth. Do you want the Parmesan cheese on the noodles or on the side? The waiter asked. Just bring him a shaker, his mom told the man. The waiter looked around the table. Is that all? He said coldly. That's all, thank you, Jim said. The waiter left and Matt addressed his father. Dad, do some people not like the machine? Why would anyone not like the machine? June said. April scratched her chin. You know, some people don't like it, she said to her mother. Who? Matt asked. They'll come around, Jim said. Well, that guy who blew himself up in London last month, I don't think he's ever going to come around, April told her father. Blew himself up, Matt shrieked. April, June scolded. What? It's true, April said. We don't have to repeat everything that's true, June said. Why'd he blow himself up? Matt insisted. Jim leaned forward and spread his hands on the table in front of him. There are always people who are resistant to change, he said. When the printing press was first invented, people thought it was evil. Just ink on paper. Books. Can you believe that? People thought mass printing was evil. They thought printing was evil? Matt squealed. Same with the radio and the television, Jim said. People protested those things, too. Did people blow themselves up when the television was invented? Matt asked. I do not like this conversation, June said. Someone may have, Jim said. No, April said. A lot of people were against it, Jim said. Can we talk about something else? June said. The thing you really have to worry about is cyber terrorism, June said. I'm going to blow myself up if we don't get the machine, Matt said, bouncing in his seat. He held his hands against his head and then brought them out, pantomiming his head exploding. Whoosh, he said, mimicking a bomb sound. And people will be like, what was that? Oh, that was Matt. His head exploded because he couldn't get space pizza. Space pizza. Space pizza, he squealed, bouncing in his chair. He loved those Mars pepperonis, and when he couldn't eat them, his head just exploded. Boosh! Calm down, June placed her hand on her son's arm, and the people in the table next to them turned and stared. Now you've riled him up, she told Jim. You're the one who said he could have Coca-Cola, Jim told her. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. Matt's bouncing lessened. He leaned forward and took a long swig of his soda, then blew bubbles softly with the straw, staring down into the black, sugary liquid. The tall, thin, clean waiter came back balancing a large round tray on his hand and served their steaming food. As soon as his plate was placed in front of him, Matt slurped up a long, buttery noodle that smacked him in the nose as it disappeared into his mouth. Yum, he exclaimed. I bet the machine has worm noodles. He picked up a second noodle with his fingers and dangled it over his plate, making it wiggle like a worm. Worm noodles. I think there was a mistake, April said when her plate was set in front of her. This has bacon on it and... She paused. I don't eat meat. I'm sorry, did you order this with no bacon? The waiter asked. The menu didn't say it had bacon, April said shyly, hunching her shoulders forward. I believe it does say, the waiter said. Give me the bacon, I'll eat it, Matt told April, leaning into her plate. It's bacon bits. It's all over it, April said. You can't pick it out. She combed her hair closer to her face with her fingers and pressed her hands into her lap. It's okay. I don't have to eat, she said softly, looking down. Don't be silly, April, her father told her. I'll get you a new one, the waiter said, without bacon. He reached over and took her plate. Thank you, June said. Just eat the bacon, Matt told her, holding a noodle over his lip like a fake mustache. The waiter took the bad salad away. When he was gone, June picked up her spoon and regarded it. This silverware's dirty, she said. She picked up her glass. And there's something in my iced tea. Look, the glass is dirty, and there's something floating in it. Jim looked. I don't see anything. Right there, she said, pointing. Oh, okay, Jim said, pretending to see something. Then send it back. We already sent something back, she told him. Jim took a bite of his steak and chewed. Should I send all this dirty silverware back too? June asked. Jim sat his fork on his plate. Well, this isn't medium rare, I'll tell you that. The waiter returned with a salad without bacon in it and placed it before April. She thanked him. Jim and June stared at him with disappointment showing on their faces. How is everything? The waiter asked. Fine, just fine, they said tersely. Oh, good, the waiter left. At least with the machine, everything will be vegetarian, April said. That's not true, is it, Dad? Matt screeched. April, June said, why are you always antagonizing him? How is that antagonizing him? April asked, annoyed. What does she mean, Dad? Matt groaned. When we get the machine, you'll eat the best meat of your life every night, Jim said. He shoved his steak around his plate with his fork. And cooked to perfection, too, he said. Unlike this. See, Matt told April, meat every day. But it's not real, April told him. That's the whole point. It'll almost completely wipe out commercial production of... What is she talking about? Matt shouted, exasperated, and let his head drop onto the table next to his plate and defeat. You'll get the noodles in your hair, June told him, pushing his hair back on his head. Look, There's butter in your hair already. She picked the butter out of his hair and wiped it on a napkin. Sit up, she demanded. Matt shook his head, no. I want real meat, he growled. It is real. It's just different, Jim said. Told you, Matt sneered, rolling his head as it lay on the table to the other side, sticking his tongue out at April. When he rolled his head to face the other direction, the back of his hair also grazed the noodles, and butter got in his hair again, more so than before. Sit up, his mother hissed in a shouting whisper, and swatted the side of his leg hard with an open palm. The smacking sound was loud enough to cause the people at the nearby table to turn and look again, and Matt squealed, startling into an upright position. Ow, he complained. Mom! I told you to sit up, his mother told him, her forehead furrowed furiously. Matt folded his arms and sat back in his seat, looking squarely down at his lap, his face pinched into a scowl. I really didn't want to be doing this tonight, Jim said, exhausted. He shook out his napkin and stared at his son. Matt did not return his gaze. I really did not want to be doing this, he repeated, then picked up his fork and took another disappointing bite of his filet mignon. The salad is wilted, April said. At least you don't have to eat it with your fingers, June said, scooping up her broth with an empty mussel shell and sipping it. If they don't like people getting the machine, maybe they should provide better service. Matt kicked the leg of the table 3 times hard, swinging his crossed feet. His mother shot him an angry look and held her hand up, pointing her open palm in his direction. He stopped swinging his legs, but glared at her, keeping his arms folded to his chest. Eat your food, Jim said to his son. There's no food at home, and I don't want you crying that you're hungry later on. The boy resentfully picked up his fork and pushed it through the pasta. There's no cheese on it, Matt said. Then put cheese on it, June told him crossly. You do it, Matt told her. June grabbed the Parmesan cheese with a homicidally fast snap of her arm and slammed it down loudly in front of her son's plate. Scowling, he picked it up and began shaking it over the pasta. It's not coming out, he complained. June grabbed the shaker, unscrewed the top, and poured a pile of cheese onto his noodles. That's a lot of cheese, Matt grumbled, staring in disgust at his plate. Just eat it, damn it, June told him sharply. Fine, he hissed. Matt pushed the noodles around with his fork and took one begrudging bite. June watched him predatorially as he chewed. He swallowed and picked up his fork again, and she turned her attention back to her own meal. Matt leaned forward, placed his straw in between his lips, and sipped his soda in spurts, bending the straw back and forth with his mouth. The cup wobbled on the table. For God's sake, hold the glass when you drink, June told him shrilly, glaring at her son. He let go of his fork, which clanked on his plate, and took hold of his cup. What is wrong with you? Can we stop by the store before you drop me off at Christina's? April asked. What for? Jim asked. She just wants me to grab a couple things for the sleepover, April said. We're not stopping by the store before home, Jim told her. It's out of the way of Christina's house and ours. But don't you guys need to pick up some dog food for Goldie? April asked. She barely had anything to eat today. She was whining when we left, and if it doesn't get delivered tomorrow... Dog food, June sighed, exhausted, and looked to her husband for support. He held his hands in the air. I guess we'd better, he said dejectedly. This morning was supposed to be our last meal, June said. That sounds morbid, April said. You know what I mean, June said. I swear to God I've had about enough of you today, young lady. You know what? That's it. That is it, Jim said. I'm calling the company again in the morning. They need to deliver that thing tomorrow, and that's that. When he said tomorrow, he pressed his finger into the table like it was a judgment and gave his head 2 hard affirmative nods, then picked up his knife and began unhappily cutting up the rest of his steak into bite-sized portions. And there's nothing for breakfast in the morning either, Matt said tersely. glaring at the non-worm noodles he was twirling with his fork, his elbow propped on the table and head resting on his hand. "And there's nothing for breakfast either," June said in a high, pinched voice and looked pointedly to Jim. "What do you want me to do?" Jim snapped. "Well, what do you want me to do?" June came back. They stared at each other, hotly, as their children fussed with the food they no longer wanted to eat. That was a tale called The Machine TM, as in trademark, by Shavisa Woods. In the, I think it's the most recent issue of the Evergreen Review, long-standing literary arts journal of great renown. One that I myself long to be published in one day. Yeah, this is it. The Fall Winter 2024-2025 issue of the Evergreen Review. Clearly you can buy it online, but it's also available, I mean, it used to be available at better bookstores everywhere, especially ones that have a large literary periodical section, which probably not many of them do anymore, since there's not a lot of bookstores to begin with. Even my book buddy's bookstore doesn't even have copies of McSweeney's, let alone... But I digress. Okay, well, we have enough time, barely, for me to... read Shavisa Wood's contributor's note, the last one in the contributor's notes of the issue, because her name is Woods. Remember your alphabet, right? Shavisa Woods, Shirley Jackson Award winner. Shavisa Woods, I don't know why I said it like it was what, but it's not. Shavisa Woods is the author of four books, including Things to Do in Your Goth in the Country. Her work has received praise from the New York Times, the LA Times, Publishers Weekly, and has appeared in Tin House, Lit Hub, Electric Lit, The Brooklyn Rail, and many other publications. She's appeared as a featured author on The Young Turks, NPR's 1A, and at the Whitney Museum of American Art, the Mid-Manhattan Public Library at 42nd Street, City Lights Bookstore, Town Hall Seattle, and many, many other venues. The Rumpus called her a, quote, literary exorcist, calling out certain entities that possess America, end quote. I could tell you more, like, about her sex life and political views, but I won't. None of that's in the contributor's notes, so you don't have to know any of those things. You don't really even have to know what the contributor's notes I just read to you said. Or you don't even have to know what I just read or anything. You don't need to do anything. But that's just me. Shavisa, my dear friend, we met when she was just barely a child, but she wasn't barely a child because she didn't grow up like people who are barely a child at 21 grow up. She's a full-fledged human being. She wasn't even a human being. She wasn't even a man or a woman. She wasn't even Shavisa. That's when I met her. And I'm not really me, but you've been listening to Norman Douglas. The name of the show, Goodnight Norman, the name of the radio station, WGXC, 90.7 FM in the beautiful downtown Hudson Valley, Community Radio for Open Ears, part of the Wave Farm Consortium, wonderful nonprofit group based here in Castle and Greene counties. Check it out, wavefarm.org, wgxc.org.